This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We've talked a lot over the last few weeks, last couple weeks in particular, about the Texans' pass protection, their ability or inability at times to protect C.J. Stroud, the issues along the offensive line. I'm as tired as anybody of it. I'd love for this offensive line to start playing like their pay grade would dictate or their draft position would dictate. It's not our fault. But Nick Caserio was asked on Texans All Access yesterday about the offensive line and the pass protection. And use the L word, man.
Yeah, I think, honestly, it's a little bit of a lazy narrative. So, I mean, there's so many components. I mean, you have 35, 40 passes. So, the quarterback's not hitting every play. So, I mean, sometimes there's a defensive call where they have more than you can block. So, you have to have an answer built into the play. So, you know, we had our moments, times where CJ was able to maneuver in the pocket. He made a number of plays the other day where he kind of found some space and was able to deliver the ball. So, playing quarterback is part of playing quarterback is playing with a little bit of a dirty pocket. So, I also think, you know, we've got to be careful of painting a picture about the offensive line. We certainly had our moments. I mean, we ran for I don't know how many yards. We threw for 280 yards. So, I mean, there's a lot of positives. So the things that we have to get fixed, you know, we're going to look at those and figure out a way to get them fixed. So, but sometimes you got to give a credit to the defense as well, because sometimes they have a call that's conducive to that situation that maybe doesn't match up with what you have called offensively. So that's the way it goes. So that group cares a lot. The coaches care a lot. So always looking for ways to improve. And if there's an opportunity for us to do that, then yeah, we will.
So D'Amico and Nick are in lockstep as far as what their public stance is going to be on this offensive line.
We're
going to highlight the positives. We know we got to fix some things. It's never perfect. Part of being in the NFL is you got to throw from a muddy pocket sometimes. And
But as far as it being a lazy narrative, I mean, Kenyon Green got benched in the middle of that game. Is it lazy to assume that that was for poor performance?
At least for one guy, right?
Right. I think it is lazy if you isolate it to the offensive line. I think if you talk about pass protection in general and overall, they got a lot of slipshod play out there from multiple position groups at various times with pass protection. And sometimes it is on the quarterback. The quarterback needs to manage blitzes or anticipate blitzes that don't have an answer. When you got four guys rushing three, there's times where you just flat out don't have answers. And it gets even more complicated when you start to look at, all right, some of the protections. I could see that the instances where it's like a lazy narrative, if you go back a couple games ago when Dalton Schultz, they had a six-man protection on. Dalton Schultz was on the line of scrimmage, and they were sliding to their right. A blitzer came from the left in the Packers game. That's actually not Dalton Schultz's guy based on how that protection is. And it looks glaring, like it's obviously must be Dalton Schultz's, but that's the protection they called, which is an offshoot of the fact that you don't trust your guys in pass protection.
Yeah, man.
You know, like it's more complicated and it's lazy just to say the offensive line sucks, but they're having to make accommodations for their offensive line with some of the pass protections that lead to wide open blitzers at times. And it's just, that's the frustrating part of it. So I'm not going to sit here and act like it's not an issue. CJ's getting pressured more than just about everybody else in the league.
Yeah.
That's not lazy to point that out.
No.
It's not lazy to point out that Kenyon Green got benched in that game.
Yeah, no, that's...
Is that not an issue at left guard?
Right. No, that's just data.
Yeah.
He's getting pressured this much. You know, like that's where I take some issue with it is... The fact that, well, yeah, there's some good plays and there's some bad plays. The Texans have more bad plays than the normal NFL team does.
Yeah.
And the one thing that can kill your season is C.J. Stroud getting hurt.
Right.
That's the biggest thing for me. All the other issues this team has had, correctable or not, those are not things that are going to kill your season. You know, like, it'd be nice if they could cut down on the penalties. Does that eventually kill them in a playoff game down the road? Maybe it does. I don't know. But you lose C.J. Stroud, and C.J. Stroud gets hurt, and all of a sudden now, halfway through the season, it's a question as to whether or not you're even in the postseason.
Yeah.
You know? So that's my thing there. More from Casario, and I think this is a good point. I think this is something that plays into the favor for the Texans heading into Thursday against the Jets. He said the Jets whooped our ass last year.
I mean, they have talent up and down a roster, so the record is what the record is, so there's nothing we can do about that. That's all we can do is prepare to play a really good Jets team who, I would say, going up to those of us that were here last year, I mean, a 0-0 game kind of turned into an ass-whipping there in the second half, so hopefully we can go up there and play better football and just get ourselves ready to go. So it's a good football team on the road Thursday night. Everybody will probably be dressed up in a costume, so it'll be like we're going to, a Halloween party or something like that. So, but hopefully we can, have ourselves a good week of preparation and get ourselves ready. There you go.
So I think the loss to the Jets helps the Texans this year. I think it helps the focus.
I was thinking about this, and it's funny because obviously the Jets are a different team than they were last year. All this, those guys on the Texans who were here weren't there last year. But I think for the majority of the team, it's as much to do about the actual stadium and the environment and the memories you have on that field. You know how it is. There's things that, when you're like walking a certain in a part of town and you have a very specific memory to what you were thinking when you were walking in that same spot like 7 years ago.
100%.
So I can remember I'm driving on a stretch of road and I'll remember an audio book I was listening to at that spot.
It's weird. Yeah. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
So you don't. I mean, there is something to that about going back to a place where something bad, you don't even have to talk about the names on the roster or anything. There's a lot of guys on this Texans team that remember their performance from last year and aren't happy about it. That, all right, this is, I gotta avenge whatever the hell happened here last year. And I think that's something you can use.
Mm-hmm.
And D'Amico brought up the Jets game during training camp. He talked about, it was that day that practice was sloppy and it was a raining, drizzly day. And he brought up that Jets game where it felt like the energy wasn't right, and whether they let the conditions or the environment get to them, they got to figure out a way to fight through that. Mm-hmm. So I think this is not even going to be a new thing that D'Amico sprung on them. I think he's probably talked about the Jets game a few times already, even when it didn't involve the Jets.
Yeah, that was that was on par with losing to the Panthers for me last year, just given where they were in the season. The Texans seemed to have figured some things out at that point.
For me, it was worse than the Panthers game because it's not like Bryce Young had an awesome day on that. Whereas
Wilson, he got whooped.
Zach Wilson had the best game he had in his entire NFL career on that day.
Yeah.
By many statistics, that was Zach Wilson's best day.
The weather on Thursday in New York.
New Jersey.
I just put it in New York. I'm guessing it'll be the same in North Jersey. High of 77, low of 57, and partly sunny.
Nice.
I know it won't be sunny at
night. Nice weather,
But it'll be.
You know what?
No precipitation.
Even Anthony Richardson could stay in for all the snaps on that game and weather like that.
I think he'd be like, "This is very pleasant."
It's one of the nicest things about. Yeah. This is one of the best parts. Anybody who played high school football or even soccer or anything can appreciate this. When all of a sudden you get that first actual fall weather. And it's down in the 50s. You're you feel like you can run forever.
77 during the day on October 31st in New York.
Oh, 77.
I thought during the day. Oh, during the day. 57 low, high of 77.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it'll be getting cooled off there by the time.
I guess sounds like perfect nighttime weather for football. Here's Nick Casario talking about the Jets as a team. Says very similar to the Texans.
They play with a very physical mindset on both sides of the ball. So they can run the ball. Playing physical is about running the ball and stopping a run. So they play urgent. They fly to the ball. They get a lot of hats to the ball. They play aggressive. That's their mentality. That's their mindset. So we have to prepare for that. And quite frankly, that's our mindset as well. So it's, I would say, similar thought process, similar overall philosophy. The team that executes the best ultimately are going to be the team that wins.
All right, so there you go. That's Nick Casario on the New York Jets.
In East Rutherford, New Jersey at 8 p.m., it's going to be 74 degrees. So that's actually, Anthony Richardson would have a hard time in that weather.
Yeah, he'd be sweating. That's unseasonably warm. Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, the Colts got moved, flexed to Sunday Night Football this week. They did it like 2 weeks ago. I forget who they're playing. I think maybe Minnesota.
Why on earth would they do that?
I don't know. I was thinking that at the time. They flexed the Colts. I think the Colts play the Vikings this week. But yeah, if you're...
What are we in, week nine?
Week nine, yeah.
Are the games going to be that miserable? I guess we picked the right week to have a
Have a bye week.
Yeah.
So I think, I'm pretty sure that's the case. So buckle up, football fans. They play Minnesota 7:20 p.m. Sunday night. The whole world is going to get a look at fatigued Anthony Richardson.
That Minnesota defense doesn't have anybody who can fly around and chase him down, I'm sure. I don't know much about the Vikings defense. Yeah. But yeah. Now they showed their they showed some vulnerability last week.
Mm-hmm. They did.
Is Anthony Richardson as good as Jameis Winston yet? An emphatic no.
No.
Yeah.
But Jameis didn't play the Vikings.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I apologize. The Ravens. Yes, yeah.
The Vikings played. They played the line. Yeah, I don't know. How many hip drop? This is off of the 5-Hour Energy fan line. How many hip drop penalties have there been this year?
Not that many.
One that matters. Joe Mixon. Yeah. That's the only one
that many. The whole thing about the hip drop tackle is that you'd barely seen any in football until a few years ago. So it wasn't like it was that hard to get rid of. It was funny when I was watching some Devin White highlights. From earlier in his career, he was a hip drop aficionado.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was a hip dropping machine.
Maybe that got factored into his free agency price tag.
I don't worry about it or anything. Yeah. He ended up playing 30 plus snaps in the game the other day. And doing at times spying, like one of our listeners suggested, spying the quarterback. And I think with Devin White, you got to be careful with just how much you put on his plate and until he gets into the scheme and how much. He hasn't been consistent the last couple of years. You don't want to necessarily really rely on him heavily in coverage unless he just really clicks and fits in this defense and with the coaching. Maybe something clicks for him here.
I like every interview I've seen with him since he got here. I really like him. He's really excited to be here.
I think he reminds me of Will Anderson a little bit in that he's got a really good energy about him, but everything just needs to be channeled and tamed. And I think maybe Devin White, even though he's been in the league a while now, he's still a young man. He's 26 years old, 27 years old.
Yeah.
There's still time for him being in the right system and with D'Amico managing his strengths and weaknesses, I think you're going to see some notable plays out of Devin White. And he got after the quarterback. He affected
almost
Anthony
had
Richardson
him,
in the game.
Almost had him on a blitz. Yeah, that was it's going to be a nice pickup. And we'll see what else. We got a week till the trade deadline. See if Nick's working the phones.
That week in week 10, San Francisco's playing. Is it week 10 or week 11 that they flexed them?
For the Colts for this weekend. It was Colts Vikings.
Oh, this
Sunday
weekend.
Night,
oh, I
this
apologize.
Coming weekend.
Okay,
yeah, this coming Sunday.
Okay.
This coming Sunday. Boy, poor Anthony Richardson. I mean, that's going to be a topic. His next game is like against the Titans, and it's buried with Andrew Catalan.
Yeah,
at noon
anybody
on
that might not be people that might not otherwise really check in on the sports news and everything
to
are going to see
production meetings with Collinsworth talking.
They're
going to
have. They're going to be every time he's breathing hard or anything.
Yeah.
They're going to talk about it. I'm eager to hear what Collinsworth take on the situation is.
Yeah, I am too.
Because he'll interview him and ask him about it and all that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Both Florida guys, by the way. Collinsworth, University of Florida, Anthony Richardson, University
of
Florida.
How weird it is. Even just, Miami plays Buffalo at noon, Dallas plays Atlanta at noon. Like, there's games that just have way more glitz to them for a primetime game.
Yeah, I don't get it. They might have done it when Minnesota was still undefeated, possibly.
Well, I mean, it's still, Minnesota's a story. They are still a story, but yeah.
Is it a Sunday night story?
No.
Yeah.
Not enough to for them playing the Colts to be the story.
It's weird. It's very weird. Maybe the TV execs thought the Texans were going to lose to the Colts. Disrespect.
Disrespect. I would say even Washington at New York is better just because of the Jaden Daniels dynamic.
For sure. For sure. All right. The news that we are waiting on, to my knowledge, have not heard anything on Stephon Diggs. Let's read into it a little bit. What do we think is happening here with Diggs? And we'll continue to look at. We'll get to Miko's thoughts on the challenges that the Jets pose as we await the fellows from In the Loop will join us a little later on as we head towards the top of the hour. Stay there.